Yeah, thank you, honorable members and our guests as well. Hope you enjoyed the tea. That's all the committee can afford. Unless there's a donor for lunch next time. Let's get back. We're still deliberating on some of the issue. I remember you responded. I did. And I think there were a few questions. I know I just gave the MEC that lovely opportunity. Don't speak like DA members in Parliament, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, let me congratulate you. I was present in the House when you presented your speech during the budget vote last week. I also want to congratulate you with the spirit in which you conduct this particular meeting, because in language, it is the spirit in which you conduct things rather than the language itself. And I want to congratulate you that you allow here for a spirit of language diversity, which we actually support also in this particular meeting. Chairperson, I have just two questions for the Director General. One is, will the national departments be consulting provincial governments in the development of the language policies? And secondly, the Chairperson to the DG, how will this bill allow national departments in provinces to follow an asymmetrical approach to the development of language policy? Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. Is there any other question or comment? Members, near Tefan Yedwin is in interpreters the call. And that is Kosa. I mean, the people from language services left everything that they are doing and came for us. Please.
Chairperson, I have a question to the DG, but now I'm still waiting for him to answer. I also have a proposal.
DG?
Chair, thank you, and thanks for those questions. Perhaps let me take a couple of steps back and respond to the question. And so the language dispensation we're looking at comprises different elements. There's a national law, or rather national legislation on languages, which is part of what you are considering now. But there's also provincial legislation, which applies in the various provinces. And I was looking at the application of an example of national law. For instance, the national law in the Western Cape applies to provincial government and the provincial parliament in the Western Cape. So there is no requirement for the law for national departments to comply with a provincial law on languages. And I think it is important to make that point right away, because it does create confusion. Then the law which we are dealing with here, and the parliamentary advisor earlier on very correctly put it, that we are dealing with a law that applies to national departments, national entities, and national public enterprises. Now, in the current bill, there is no requirement for consultation with provincial governments in the development of national language policies. However, you'd notice that the bill provides for a variety of consultation processes, including the national, the policy forums, and so on and so forth, which would provide for that consultation. So I don't think that there is space for that consultation, but there isn't a specific requirement on provincial governments, well, on national government, to consult with provinces. The question of symmetry is a bit of a tricky one. National departments, as the chairperson put it correctly, are configured very differently. There are different departments that have provincial offices in the various provinces, like the Department of Labor or the Department of Home Affairs, and so on and so forth. There are national departments that have provincial counterparts in the provincial government, like the Department of Arts and Culture. There is a provincial Department of Sports and Arts and Culture, which is like our provincial counterpart, and so on and so forth. So there's very different configuration. In an ideal world, one would have had a system where provincial offices of national departments could use the official languages in those provinces where they are located. But we are not quite there yet, and I will explain the reason why. Because that would mean that a national department of Home Affairs, which is represented in all the provinces, would have to have the capacity to deal with all the official languages in all the various provinces. Then they might as well just adopt all the 11 official languages, if that was the case. So capacity and practical considerations really make it difficult for us to operate within that environment. So Chen, once again, we believe that there is sufficient room for consultation and cooperation with provincial departments. But the legal responsibility for national departments and national public enterprises is to comply with the act once it is passed in the form that it is going to be passed. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. Kusa kumnyumbuzi or comments now? I can note your hand. Why are you raising your hand so much? Did you call us outside?
I want to speak to you.
Okay. Montepane, I will Pascal speaking, honorable Father Bear.
My question, honorable Chair, is based on the proposed amendment document. Page 2, clause 4, sub clause 3. I just want a clarity in that word, its obligation. Its obligation. You know, I'm saying this because we are having a problem here of the majority of languages that are not developed. So that sub-clause relates directly to that. Because it says the department must take into account its obligation to take practical and positive measures to elevate the status and advance the use of its languages of its already misuse. So what I want to find out now in that its obligation, what does the drafter have in mind by that obligation? Taking into account these diminished use languages.
Dapan, I know I'm not supposed to respond, but I think it's how the constitution is. Mm-hmm. Even constitution. Balunja. Mm-hmm.
Say what you do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Also, you took this word from
the constitution. Section 6.2 doesn't say it's obligation, but the way it's worded is it must take. And that is an obligation. It is peremptory. It must be done. So it is an obligation on government to do so. So that's
yes.
There is an advocate who understands. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. If I could also just come in here. When I did speak earlier, I said we must remember that Section 6 of the Constitution is not a right. It's an obligation. And that obligation cuts right through Section 6. So when we read Section 6, whenever we see the word must, when we tell our children, you must do this, it's not optional, I want it done. And that's the same way we should look at the word must when we're in government. It must be done. It's not optional. And that's where the word obligation comes from.
Okay. No, members, I think we must try to conclude on four. From what I checked, there's not much of a, unless I'll be corrected, disagreement on this clause. But I want to, I know Honorable Chukwala is the only one who strongly disagrees. But you see, I think one of the issues, DG, I don't want to call it fears, but it's...
But I'm a little researcher, Pesiri Bangu, right?
Oh.
Ndiyavumelana ngolhlobo ibhalwe ngalo into ebendiyikhupha nge-first lay yinto yokuba kubekho amalwimi angathi azawufakwa wodwa ngathi abaluleke udlula amanye ndade ndathi ukuba ima ngolu hlobo ndiyisapota ngaphezu kwenu.
Oh,
I correct you, Chairperson. I did not say I disagree. I said I agree. The only thing that I wanted to discard is this issue of certain languages which are given a special treatment. That's the only part that I was a bit discarding.
Oh, the fellow
call. Is that you shall call later?
Okay. DA, I don't think you have a problem then. I know you've got one issue to raise despite the clause 4. You have a problem with clause 4.
No, I haven't got a problem, but I just want
Whenever
to flag something.
No, I allow you. I'm just checking the consensus in the committee now. There's no problem.
Okay.
I know you've got other issues to raise.
Yes, I'll do it later.
Geagte voorzitter, net op grond van die vraag wat gestel is aan die DG meneer Kaba oor asymmetrie en symmetrie. Ek wil nou nie hier weer 'n hele nuwe debat open nie, maar ek dink die DG is reg in sy benadering dat die kies van tale op die ou einde in 'n provinsiale opset 'n probleem kan wees. Omdat die nasionale departemente ook 'n beperkte begroting het en daar verskillende tale in verskillende streke van die land is. So ek dink net op een of ander wyse, ek weet nie hoe gaan dit gedoen word nie, maar daar moet 'n bewustheid by die provinsiale regerings wees om ook die mense in daardie streek te help sodat kommunikasie goed kan wees tussen die regering en dan die verskillende taalsprekers. Maar die taalsprekers in Limpopo se profiel, die taalprofiel lyk anderster as wat dit in die Noord-Kaap of in die Oos-Kaap lyk. Maar dit is dinge wat ek dink as jy 'n goeie regering is op streeksvlak, dat jy die behoeftes van mense in ag gaan neem in daardie spesifieke omstandighede. So ek wil net so 'n vlaggie langs hierdie ding neersit. Ons kan dit nie in die wetgewing gaan vasknoop nie omdat hierdie artikel 75 wet is. Ons kan nie op 76 se vlak in beweeg nie. Maar ek dink net ons moet baie deeglik kennis neem dat dit in die toekoms so kan wees dat watter goeie bedoelinge ons ook al het op hierdie nasionale vlak skep van wetgewing, dat daar miskien hier en daar probleme kan opduik. Dis eintlik al wat ek wil sê, voorsitter. Ek hoop ek het myself daar duidelik.
We don't have a problem with the discussion, and I also want to add on the question that was asked to the DG about asymmetry and symmetry. The DG is right in his approach when it comes, when you have to choose between all four certain languages, but it will cause a problem in provincial governments because it will lead to new problems, example, money-wise, etc. And the government of the people in the areas, and there must be communication between the language users as well as government. But a good government on provincial level will certainly take this into account. And I also want to flag something that we're dealing with Article 75 and 76 here of the Constitution here, and that we must take note that these good intentions may cause problems in future.
Thank you, Chair, through you to the DG. Can I get clarity for once and for all now? Do I understand it correctly? That if National Department Labor decides that their, say, three languages are X, Y, and Z, are those the three languages that will be used in all 9 provinces? And Department of Home Affairs decides that it would be A, B, and C. Those are the three languages that will be used in all the provinces. Did you?
Yes. If the Department of Labor chooses three languages, that would be the languages of business for the Department of Labor across the country.
What would happen if they would choose three languages? What could also happen where they are in various provinces? They will take, if you look at Section 63A, they will look at regional needs in those and would say, in when we are in Northern Cape, these are the languages, we will use Setswana, Afrikaans, and Sekosa, if those are the languages there. So although they will use three languages that they will choose as their own, when they are in provinces, they will then look at the dynamics, in the regional dynamics there to do that. That's what will happen.
I think it's also in the constitution what we are saying. No, don't worry, the DG is not a legal person. So that's why I opened my eyes when he was responding.
And Chairperson, just to say that you will see in Section 4, it says whatever language policy the department makes, it must comply with Section 3A. So meaning it must take into consideration those factors in 3A when determining which languages to choose. So those dynamics will happen at various points.
Thanks, that's just unclarified. No. But what I want to point out, with no offense to any other language, at national level, as we are saying that the department will be the one that chooses the language. One of the issues, DG, that has been raised, especially through the submissions as well, during, was that assure us here. I know you'll meet other DGs and other enterprises as well, to say that, let's say you made an example with the Department of Labor, to say that it's better, not to say, as I said, I'm not undermining any language, to refrain from those who enjoyed, let's say there are languages in our own which enjoy more privilege or more, like isiZulu and Sotho, than, let's say the department must try and say maybe they communicate nationally in Tsonga, Ndebele, and Tshivenda, then the provinces must do what to do. Because, you know, let's try and promote other languages as well. These are some of the languages that are not highly promoted. As I said, I always say, well, I'm a Sowetan. You grow up in Soweto. Because also, as I know another one of them agree with me, when I always say, when you destroy identity, you start by language. Mm-hmm. When you grew up in Soweto, anything that was to show that apartheid, I would say, also killed our mind as well. When we grew up, you were better if we were closer or Zulu or Sotho.
Mm.
Who comes from Soweto, if I'm not lying? There's everything. The refugees, everybody's there. So, Soweto. So what I'm saying is that if you were saying you were a Venda, it were Oshanga, it was like, you don't want to associate yourself with being Shangan because it's a lower... And these are the issues, and all these attitudes were brought by languages, to be honest. It's not a matter of identity on the face, but it was just an issue of languages. That's why I'm saying, DG, also in your analysis as well, try and promote those that are even oppressed, that are in the constitution as well, you know. Am I talking comic people? No one is agreeing with me. Or am I the only person from Soweto? Maybe I'm the only one. No, yeah. Okay, people of South Africa. I'm from Soweto. I was just making an example because of where I grew up. The issue of language. People were only also oppressed in the issue of language as well. Do we agree on clause 4? Can you raise your hands? I know we're not waiting. Where's Honorable Mulder Sandag? Where is he? Anyway. He was not here. So do we agree, members? Why are you not raising your hands? Because that's what has been... No, we're not voting. We're just agreeing. I want a person to disagree. So. Okay. So are we done on those four? Okay. Let's go then to the rest. I don't think we'll do the A-list today. Okay.
Oh. This is not a trend. I commit. If well, Anna, go Gungale. And go, we are Sassi from Malenangalea. Namkan is from Malenangale. We are born Tina Sikeli court, Siko, some Mr. Cottingham.
A person has spoken, I think it will be done. I just need to warn the committee that on that other day, we agreed on something that was agreed upon on that day. Today we agreed on this one, which I support. But if now you are keeping on changing, we'll take you to court. We are used to take people to court.
Okay. Now, is there anything that you want to also raise in the bill that you feel that why doesn't know? I'm giving you a chance.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think this is very important.
Now after we have done for you, speaking English.
I've got this in Afrikaans, so I'm going to read this in Afrikaans. This is all about the, in the previous bill, you talk about Pansalt that sort of police this whole issue. But I've got a problem there. En ek gaan dit so in volg in Afrikaans verduidelik, dat as een mens gaan na die oorsprong van die Pansalt-wet, is daar een probleem, ons sal dit eerst moet regstel. Want ek dink in elk geval die Pansalt, soos wat ons al in die verlede aangedui het, kan een soort van een sogenaamde taalombudsman wees, om te kyk, as daar bijvoorbeeld iemand in een specifieke provincie een probleem het, as daar een fout is, of iemand wil nie sy taal gebruik, of wat ook al nie, dan moet hy na ombudsman toe kan gaan om te sê, asseblief help my, ek kom nie reg nie, niemand wil na my luister nie. Ek dink nie Pansalt is enigszins gerad om dit te doen nie, en dit sal nie werk nie. Ek wil net die volgende onder die komitee se aandag bring. Ek wil graag onder die komitee se aandag bring, dat Pansalt se wetse fundamente op die interim grondwet gebouw is. En ek sal graag wil hê dat die rechtsafdeling daarna moet kyk. Ek herhaal dit, dat Pansalt se wet op fundamente op die interim grondwet gebouw is. Artikel 8, ek is nie spesifiek seker oor die subartikel nie, maar ek dink dit is die een van die laaste subartikel daarvan, verwys nog na die nie verminderingsaspek soos in A3 van die interim grondwet. Voorts is subartikel 3, 2 en 3, 9 van die interim grondwet in die Pansalt wet ingeskryf. Dit is teen die grondwet. En die punt wat ek wil maak is dat die ministerse benadering om die afdwingingsmaatreëls in Pansalt wet te voeg juridisch verkeerd is. Pansalt se opdrag is baie beperk in subartikel 6, 5 van die grondwet, wat het gaan oor bevordering. Daar is nergens wat een mens dan in die Pansalt wet lees van afdwinging nie. So daar moet 'n baie sterker element vervat word wat ook afdwinging van regte kan beteken. So ons sal die komitee en die regsafdeling dink ek sal baie deeglik daarna moet kan kyk alvorens ons enigstens daarin kan dink om byvoorbeeld voor te stel dat Pansat moet soort van die polisieeringsaspekte benadruk. Ek is nie regsgeleerde nie, agbare voorsitter. Dis die regsadvies wat ek ingewin het wat ek na die komitee toe bring. Baie dankie.
The original actor plan subcourses, there's a problem with it because
can have the mic close the
because they cannot be the ombudsman in a province if there is a problem with a specific language speaker, they are not geared to handle that. And the act of concept is built on the interim constitution, section 8, and some of the articles included in here in this act is against the constitution. And what the minister intends to do here is wrong. And within the Pansalp Act, there's something about promotion, but there's nothing about the enforcement of rights. And the committee plus the legal advisors must look at this before we can say that Pansalp must be the legal guardian or policeman for this.
Okay. That's your feeling.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone to raise that issue on? Maybe my comment. Okay, TJ, do you want to respond first?
Depends, Chair.
What of that open? I think he can also respond on this one.
Does it the issue of the ombudsman, if you look at section 11 of the Pansalp Act, and I will read it very quickly, subsection 2 says, no, subsection 1 says, any person, board, institution acting on their own behalf or any other may lodge a complaint with the board concerning any alleged violation or threatened violation of the language rights, language policy, or language practice. Then subsection 5 says, the board shall, after an investigation of the alleged violation, and if it is of the view that there is a substance in the allegation, by mediation, conciliation, or negotiation, endeavor to resolve and settle any dispute, rectify the act or omission arising from or constituting a contravention of alleged of legislation, language policy, or language practice. Now, dispute resolution mechanisms in relation to language already existed. Now, we may differ about the functionality of the structure that it is charged with, but I do not believe that we should create an alternative because that already creates a contradiction in law. And I think that what we should be talking about is actually fixing the existing mechanism rather than creating a new one. That's true.
Do you want to comment?
No, I was just trying to share a view. Instead of creating parallel structures, we must strengthen Pansalp to be in order, because that will create a problem if we can creating parallel structures.
Okay, Dr. Juwen.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. GG has covered it precisely, with precision.
DJ, are you the dictator? Why is everybody quiet? Okay. I think personally as well, I would not want us to... I understand the dysfunctionality of Pansalp at this point in time, but also let's not take away their constitutional obligations, you know, at the end of the day. I understand where Honorable Van der Berg or the DA submission comes from. It's because of the state of Pansalp at this current stage. So, one would really fear to take their problems to Pansalp. Now English is gone. Open interpreter. But when I was thinking, I was like, Pansalp, no manje, I want to succeed. Because uphansi okwamanje sizothi usaphelile uzophinda avuswa inkinga ilapho mara kudle ukuthi manje fanele sibe nezinye i-structures ezi-parallel because zizoba nenkinga umuntu uzophuma la aye la and asingamoshi imali senze ama-parallel structures ngoba sobe simolisha imali yabakhokhi bentela and mina ngiyabasaba nokubasaba so masingasabi ukuripota kuphansal because into e-right ukuthi ule nto uminister will be also overseeing that ukhobona because uphansal sivumelene sikomiti ukuthi akalungiswe then ngeke sibe nenkinga asingathathi into ezikumgaqoseko ngifuna nje sivumelane ngalokho.
We know that PANSAL for now is dysfunctional. Let us not waste the taxpayers' money by creating another structure because it's already existing. Let us just report to PANSAL and we must allow PANSAL to be corrected so that we are able to do whatever we want to do and report whatever we need to report in the structure. We can't create other structures because PANSAL is there. Thank you.
There was a hand before when I was confirmed, because somebody raised a hand. Was it you?
Thank you, Chairperson, you cover me because I want to say actually that those need repair for the fast money. Onze in onze debattering last week gezegd, en het ding hier die punt gemaakt, dat die minister moet kijken naar PANSAL en also the department of TG. And there was proposals on the table. And as us as this committee, we must make sure that that proposal in the budget vote be implemented. And me and PANSAL issue was very highlighted in that debate. So therefore, Chairperson, I agree on the view that we not actually bring parallel structures just for the sake that PANSAL is not functioning. We as this committee must make sure. If the minister is not implementing things, it's our work according to the constitution to make sure that things is happening. Because we must defend the constitution of South Africa. Thank you very much.
Thank you, voorzitter. Ek kan insien dat daar nie twee parallelle liggame moet wees. Die vraag is net, as dit kom by die implementering, wie gaan vir PANSAT wys help hoe om dit te doen? Dit is ons werk. PANSAT, wees gewaarsku.
Right, maar die probleem maak nie. Is die laatste een wat moet praat nou? Vraag net as ek toe. Of is die honger? Ek is lief vir jou, baie lief vir jou. Ek moet my nie kwaad maak as ek lief.
I first want to interpret the Honourable Member, we shouldn't put the horses in front of the cart, and in the debate we said that the Minister must look at PANSAT, that's the Honourable Minister of Moss, Member Moss, and I don't understand why there should be two parallel bodies, but the question will be when it comes to the implementation of this, who will show PANSAT what to do, and it's only us that can help them to do that, it's our responsibility.
I think I'm satisfied because you know what now makes me more satisfied is that the second sub clause of the PANSAL Act that DG has read that went shall. It means now if anybody feels a PANSAL is not taking his complaint or her complaint seriously, he can take up that issue because that word shall means a lot in law.
Eh, pero le sale valor. PANSAL por cota urona que el constitution hizo yo al. El rojo de parlamento. Sabe sobre tu insulto a bono. Quiero una batla en cana, quiero. I come from Soviet and my linguist now I've changed. Okay. Date van der Berg.
Ek wil net het baie duidelijk stel, geachte voorzitter, ek en dit wat ek net nou gesê het, bedoel ek nie werklik verdammel nie, ek wil nie noodwendig, ek het maar van die begin af die woord ombudsman in my gedagte gehad om te kyk na hierdie toepassing van die wet, maar ek wil nou nie, ek weet, ons allemaal stem saam dat Pansalt nie opereer, dat het moet opereer nie, maar die eerste hoekom ek dit geopper het, is om 'n beroep te doen op die regsverteenwoordigers. Ek sê weer, ek is nie regsverteenwoordiger nie, maar ons moet net gaan kyk na Pansalt wet se fundamente, wat op die interim grondwet gebou is, en daar wil ek spesifiek, hey, ons moet kyk, die regsgeleerdes van die staat, moet net kyk, na, as daar spesifiek verwys word na Pansalt se opdrag, in subartikel 6.5 is het baie beperk, en daar praat net namelijk vir bevordering sê nou maar van die taal, maar daar is nie artikel wat sê dat die regte afgedwing moet word. Ek wil nie 'n nuwe struktuur skep nie, voorzitter, ek doen net 'n beroep dat die regsverteenwoordigers net na daar die grondteks van die Pansalt-wet moet gaan kyk. Dit is my betoog. Het is net so dat daar die grondwet 100% reg is. Want dit is onder my aandag gebring dat dit nie 100% reg is nie. Ek kan nie daar oor 'n oordeel vel nie. En daarom doen ek 'n beroep deur u voorsitter dat die regsverteenwoordigers net daarna kyk. Baie dankie.
Okay.
I just want to make something clear. I just had this idea of the ombudsman in my mind. It's because a protocol doesn't function as it's supposed to, and I want to make an appeal of the legal advisors to look at protocol because it's both on the interim constitution, and look at subsection 6.5 because it only talks about the limitations or only about the advancements and not about the enforcement of the act, and that legal advisors must make sure that the groundwork is 100%.
Thank you. Honourable members, do we agree on that clause now? With those recommendations that we've made? Okay. Oh, this committee is peaceful today. It's because I prayed this morning. I think we've come to an end. I believe so. Unfortunately, we are not going to do the A-list today because really we've gone through such things. But members have got copies, so we'll go through it, and also to also give Advocate Gordon a chance to go through it, because she's just joined us as well. But also, honourable members, as you all know, that is our time for budget vote, so we need also some time before. And is there anything, members, on this before we... Nothing. Okay, let's agree that we won't be meeting on this next week, but we'll just meet maybe the other week. But I'd like to thank everyone for coming here, for assisting also in the languages team. You see, for South Africa to be democratic, voices of other people have to be heard. You know, even on this one, people had to be heard, and people are still crying. As much as we still have a challenge with 11 officials, DJ, there is an outcry. As much as Pansalt is dysfunctional on, even on those dialects, that they call them dialects, but I believe it's our own languages, indigenous languages, like isiZulu, iKhilobedu, isiMpondo, isiBhaca, isiThembu. There's still a lot of an outcry about those languages, Nama and Khoi, because they seem to be wiped out. Because remember, the older generation are the ones who are dying with these indigenous languages. So I think something has to be done as soon as possible. But I think it's very important as well, also for the department to strengthen, I would say, the relations with provinces, so that all provinces must have their provincial acts. We can't, out of 9 provinces at this point, have only 2 provinces who've got their provincial works. But it's very important as well, also for the monitoring and evaluation unit of the department and languages, DG, to ensure that all these policies are implemented. But I'd like to thank you, members of the portfolio committee, today for being so peaceful. And thank you so much.
some people who come here for the first time, I must say you missed out the... I would swear it was Mike Tyson and Evander Holyoode. At some stage, I thought I'll call police because really, I thought people are going to beat each other in this committee as well. But I must also thank the members of the public. It's very important, especially who participated in the public hearings. I know we could not reach as much as we wanted. To show that people who are very interested in the languages bill, they are still sending submissions even now. But also, unfortunately, it was not a Section 76 bill where we could go to provinces. But it doesn't say that we, as a portfolio committee, must not go out to the provinces as well. But I'd like to thank the MEC. Thank you for coming. Although, not to say that I'm exposing, but there was a complaint that at Home Affairs forms are in Afrikaans in the Western Cape in English only. That was one of the complaints. Maybe you should also do a lot of oversight in this government department as well. I'd like to thank you so much, Dr. Meyers, for coming through. Thanks to Joni, who's been running around. Thank you to Advocate Gordon, who joined us today. And thank you so much. I appreciate it. Oh, people of language services, I don't know what to say. Nyabonga, nyabulela, you know. I really appreciate your work, and you've been very committed. I really appreciate it. I remember last week you came, even when you were not supposed to come. My heart was so sore. But I really appreciate the work that you've done. And I just hope all South Africans, including black and white, they would learn each other's languages. It would be very nice for even our white counterparts to learn our African languages as well, and to us as well to learn other languages as well. But we know those languages, but I'm saying it's very important as well. On our phone as well, we are my neighbor. You are supposed to be speaking to Anna now in Kaude. Please don't gossip about Honorable Fans Kaude. She understands Kosa. Please don't make that mistake. And I'd like to thank the state law advisors. Thank you for your time. Thank you, Tiffany. I didn't recognize Tiffany earlier on. Where is she now? She's from the PMG, Parliamentary Monitoring Group. Thanks a lot, my dear. Who did I forget? Pencil, Dr. Mike. Oops. Thanks, you've been very consistent. At least you are working. That's why we can give you a budget. We can see that you are doing your job. And members of the media, where are they? I only saw. All the other. Oh, okay. Thanks for coming. I hope you'll write positive today. Please, something that builds the nation. And thanks to everyone who's here. If I forgot you, and I really appreciate. MEC, your Department of the Western Cape has been consistent coming over here. So if you didn't see them in the offices, they were here. But you must ensure that they were here. Check the register. Maybe they will say they are coming your way. But I just want to say thank you to everyone. And in absentia, I'd like to thank the Office of the Speaker, Deputy Speaker, and the House Chair. They've been very, the Office of the Chief Whip as well. And someone who was also playing a role in the back is the SG of the ANC. Godi Mantesh was saying to me, Chairperson, ensure that there's no one who calls me and fights about languages. Ensure that we transform with love. When you transform, you don't kill, but you transform with love. That's what the SG of the ANC say. So I want to thank him. You didn't know he played that role as well. He used to say, don't make the GA angry and red. They'll come outside my office. And thanks to the minister and the deputy minister. And I'm sad that Honorable Melder is not here today. Thanks to Buhle. Where's Buhle? Thanks, Vera, as well. And Dr. Hlengani Baloyi, unfortunately, he is not here. And bye-bye. I don't know.
I'm not back.